Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
If you're in Philippians, either on your Bible app or you have a paper Bible, I just really invite you to join me. We're going to walk through, we'll see how far we get, but my plan is to walk through this passage of Scripture. This week, we'll see what Thanksgiving brings. We'll see what grace and glory happens. But I'd like to walk through the book of Philippians with us because God's word just speaks to us and by his spirit. And so in this next little while ahead, you can be reading in Philippians ahead and just asking God to speak to you even as he would speak to us. Here's what it says in Philippians. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And it's this moment, Paul and Timothy. Timothy had been traveling with Paul. We see back in Acts chapter 16 through Philippi. Silas is with them. But Paul is now writing with Timothy. Tim's there. It says, to all the saints who are in Philippi. And I love, and then he just kind of adds, and the leaders too. The bishops, the overseers, depending on what version you're reading. But I love how he speaks to the church. This isn't just to the leaders. This is to the church. And this is to all of us as he writes to the church. That's really important because we're going to come to a verse 6. And this will stand out that he's writing to all of us. Grace to you and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a marvelous place to start. Grace and peace. Let's start there. I wonder how many conversations would change and shift if we started off with grace and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start there. And he says this, these three verses, 3, 4, 5, and 6, I guess four verses. It says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Really? Every remembrance of the people in Philippi. I thank God for you, he says. And my prayers for you. I'm praying for you. And that brings me such joy. When I remember our time together. Well, their time together started off well. Paul came and saw Lydia by the river, and she heard the gospel and got saved. It was water baptized. And then as they continued ministry in Philippi, there was a girl, a slave girl. She had two masters. She had human masters and she had demonic masters. Demon-possessed slave girl who would provide her masters with money from fortune-telling. And she became such an irritant and a distraction in Paul's ministry, and she'd follow him around and make some noise. Paul cast the demon out of her. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, isn't that interesting? She wasn't just making it up. And there was an effectiveness with the fortune-telling and all that. Loved ones, stay away from that. Stay far away from the horoscopes, from fortune telling, from all of that. There's a demonic influence in that. But when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they didn't care about the girl. Just cared about the money that she was making them. Well, it ended up in Philippi, where Paul was, they were beaten with rods and stripes laid upon their back, thrown into the innermost prison and locked up. And Paul says, hey, I thank God for my remembrance of you. Which is interesting because he's writing from a Roman prison. He's writing from prison. There he is in chains. When he talks about his chains, he's not talking about just things that spiritually enslave him. He's wearing irons. And he's remembering his time, and this is how he remembers it. I remember our partnership in the gospel. I remember the Philippian jailer being saved and his whole household being baptized. What he's remembering is what God did in the midst of a very difficult circumstance. and making request for you with all joy. He's in prison, but he's got joy in his heart. In prison. For your fellowship, your partnership, not just your spectating, but your partnership in the gospel from the first day. That first day when they got saved in Philippi, he was brought out, the earthquake happened. It wasn't a jailbreak. They didn't leave when they were free. Instead, they stayed because they were on mission and they were on mandate. They saw a Philippian jailer, his household get saved, and the gospel come to Philippi. And he says this from your first day until now. And watch verse 6, because I've said this to so many people, and I just saw this week, because I was reading a different version of the Bible, and it changed. The New American Standard phrased it differently, and it just caught my attention, so I took time to research the word, and it's very insightful. It says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a good work in you. Who is the you? I have shared that with so many individuals. But NASB, New American Standard, will say, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work among you. And I stumbled over it. I thought, it doesn't say among, it said in all my life. And both are accurate, in you and among you. But who is the you? He's not talking to an individual. This is writing to all the saints. He who has begun a good work. And sometimes we just take our Christianity and think it's just so isolated. And I think it's fine to talk about the good work he's done in us, but this verse is talking in us, not just in me. The good work that he has done among us, and that's just a testimony for our church as we gather together, as we move forward on mission. What he has begun among us, what he has done in us, he's going to complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, just as it's right for me to think this of you all, on and on, it's just so plural. He's writing to the church, because I have you in my heart. Here I am far away, but I've got you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my chains, there it is, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. Can you imagine? He's writing from prison saying, you are a partaker with me of grace. Look at God's grace. Grace and peace to you. And his heart being poured out. We are partakers. We're together in grace. These prison cells, the one in Philippi and the one in Rome, it just doesn't touch grace. He's not sitting in a cell. He's standing in grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you to send me a file. No, that's not it. A cake with a file in it. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. The affection, it's just with this godly love, with this great love. I long for you. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of the righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. They're not getting a letter saying, would you pray for my release? That's not where he starts. Oh, that will be part of it. It's not like he's liking this five-star experience in Roman prison. It's not a woe is me letter. It's one of Paul's most affectionate letters to a church, the church in Philippi, where he started in prison, and he's saying, hey, I'm praying for you. And I'm praying that you would grow, and I'm praying that you would mature. And isn't that God's heart for us, that we would grow and mature, that you would abound more and more in love? It has to do with the maturity that comes. It has to do with discovering new ways to love and to make sure that we're doing it with excellence. And that scripture says that we wouldn't, cause offense? And without offense means without tripping up, without offending others, without stumbling, or without causing others to stumble. May we love well. May we not only say it, but may we show it by the fruits of righteousness that are worked in us because of our relationship with Jesus. As we have a relationship with Jesus, it's got to be more than informational. It has to be transformational. As we spend time in his presence, Scripture says that we go from glory to glory. There's a progression. And it's not always all at once. Sometimes it's, as Scripture says, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It's like when you haven't seen often children for a long time, grandparents live in a different place and they come back. My, how the kids have grown. May that be our testimony when people haven't seen us for a while. You know what one of the worst things people say? You haven't changed a bit. Well, that, I've really been trying. I've been trying to change a lot. I don't want to be stuck where I've been stuck. Verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, these things. See, there, he's in prison again. But look at the perspective that he brings. If I'm in Philippi, I am praying to get him out of jail. I'm praying for another song that's going to rattle the roof, that the earthquake's going to come, that he's going to be released and continue in ministry. But he says this, I want you to know that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Go figure. But that's because of an attitude. That's because of a determination. That's because of a transformation that's taken place. It doesn't just happen. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard, some will say the praetorium guard, and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. It's become evident. The phrasing of this verse, it doesn't mean that it's immediately evident. It's become evident. Evident over time. May people be able to look at our lives and see over time there is a consistency to our credibility because of our attitude with which we follow Christ. That my chains, these aren't the chains that matter. He started off by saying, Paul and Timothy, a bondservant, a slave. I am in chains to Christ. I am his. It's become evident to the whole palace guard, to all the rest, that my chains are in Christ. What about those people who today are imprisoned for their faith? What about those who, with our, what we've just walked through with COVID and restrictions, all of the things, my heart would be that it would be evident to the whole palace guards that our chains are in him. Verse 14, and the most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains and much more bold to speak the word without fear. It's this amazing thing that people, they saw Paul be thrown in jail, and instead of cowering, instead of backing away, they came, essentially was like, is that all they got? In this life, that's it? Throw me in jail? The stripes on his back, beaten with rods, on and on, taking his life. And instead of deterring the gospel message, the people watching it, it became a catalyst because they could see how Paul faced it, how he went through things. For us, I would say, let's never have a joyless prison. Whatever we can find ourselves trapped in and locked in, let it not be joyless. Because the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And as people look at our lives, whatever we go through, whatever our circumstance, it'll cause people to be drawn closer to Christ. Verse 15 said, people are preaching Christ, and not everybody is, it just seems like legit motivation. Some preach Christ even from envy and strife. Some from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add to my affliction to my chains. Hey, we're preaching Christ, nothing happened to us. Christ 2.0, Christ light, who knows what they were preaching, but there was at least the connection with Jesus. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and that's what he is going to rejoice. All through Philippians, I'm writing you from jail to let you know I've got joy. And I want you to have joy too. In this I rejoice, yes, I greatly rejoice. Christ is being preached. I'm on mission. We're on mission together. Verse 19, for I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer. There's the prayer that to be delivered from this. This isn't fun. This isn't entertaining. This isn't pleasant. But in the midst of the circumstance, I'm going to preach Jesus and let people know. He says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, with all boldness, always as always. So now also Christ will be magnified in my body, that when they look at me, there's going to be a reflection of Jesus. Whether by life or by death, however this plays out, however this rolls out, may Christ be magnified. My words and my actions, may it look like, may it show up that I really believe this and that I have a real relationship with Jesus. And so whether I live or whether I die, may Christ be magnified. Either way, he's going to be released from that cell. One way or another, he is going to be released from that cell. And he says, for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. This wasn't somehow a desire to die, but it was a closeness, a desire for closer fellowship, closer awareness of the presence of Jesus. Watch what it says. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet, which I cannot tell. Verse 23, I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. I'm ready. Get me out of here. Punch the ticket. Let's go home. Let's be with Jesus. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, hasn't entered into our hearts what God has prepared for us. Paul's like, saddle up. I have a desire to go. But it's far better to do that. Verse 24, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Saying, I want to stay and help. I want to be a help. Being confident of this, I know that I'll remain and continue with you for all of your progress and joy of faith. He wants us to grow and mature. He wants the church in Philippi. May we grow and mature in joy and in faith. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Hey, when I show up, we're going to rejoice together. Let's close with these last few verses. Verse 27 says this. And this, of all the verses, this is what stirred in my heart. This is why we walked through the last 26. Trusting God has spoken to us. Something in your heart has been poked or prodded or encouraged. But verse 27 says this, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's writing from prison saying, you straighten up and fly right. Make sure your conduct is worthy of Christ. All the freedom that you have. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs that this. And he's talking to the church in Philippi, including the leaders. He says this, loved ones, he says this to us today, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. That we're together. Stand fast. Don't let anything tear you apart. In one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And it's not just to possess the faith, but it's to share the faith, to expand the kingdom. And then he says this, not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition or destruction, but to you it's salvation that is from God. Now watch this last couple of verses. For to you it has been granted. And that word right there, it means this. To you, you have been given a generous gift. What kind of perspective is this where he writes these next words? For to you, this is a gift from God. God has given you, he has bestowed on you a generous gift. On behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And he says this, having the same conflict which you saw in me. You saw me in prison, and now here is in me again. Here I am again, writing from prison. It has been granted on behalf of Christ. There is a generous gift, not only to believe, Oh, beloved, what manner of love has the Father bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God, John writes. This generous gift to believe in him. These things are written that we might believe. If you believe in Jesus, whoever believes in him would have everlasting life. It has been granted this generous gift not only to believe, but there's a price to pay to suffer for him. He's not just talking about some ethereal, ambiguous suffering. He's talking to the church about prison. He's talking to, that's where he came from in Philippi. That's where he is again in a Roman prison. And he says, there's a generous gift been given to you to suffer for his sake. He says, here I am again. Next little bit as we look at chapter 2, he'll talk about the suffering of Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He'll say, therefore, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we'll walk through chapter 2. But all the way through, there's joy. In the midst of your circumstance, let there be joy. In the midst of struggle, let there be joy. In the midst of disappointment, let there be joy. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow and mature in our walk with Jesus, may your life be filled with joy. Whatever we face, it's not a denial of hardship. It's not a denial of sorrow. Those are very real, and we walk through some very dark and difficult times. But they don't need to last, and they don't need to be joyless, because we know in whom we have believed, the joy of the Lord being our strength. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Jesus, as we come to you today, boy, we're glad that we're not sitting in prison. What a transformation. How gracious it is that we're here, that we're free. And in our country at this point, we're still free. But God, no matter what our future holds, we're grateful that you hold our future, that you watch over and you keep us. And what our future holds, just like even coming to the building in the Red Sea, we don't know, but we do know that you hold us and that you walk with us and that you carry us and that we never need to walk alone. God, for those who are struggling in some kind of situation that seems like a prison, that seems like it's just gripped them and there's no way out, God, I pray first and foremost for grace and peace. Grace and peace. Your favor to rest upon them, and your peace that passes understanding goes beyond circumstance to begin to guard their hearts and minds right now. Wherever we are struggling, wherever we are locked up, that there would be grace and peace. And God, we pray that in the midst of that, there would also be just the emergence of joy. Just like a flower growing, that there would be that seed that begins to bud and begins to grow. And there's just something beautiful in the midst of difficulty, that there is a joy that comes. That even though things are hard and sorrows and mourning and weeping, God, that we endure those things. Your word says, hang on, that joy comes in the morning. God, and so I pray for a freshness of joy. That whatever has held us, that we would be free. And just like Paul saying, these chains are not what holds me. God, that the things of this earth would not hold us. Instead, we would be held by you. We would be in the grip of grace. God, I pray there would just be such strength and encouragement for each one. And we are confident of this very thing, that you who have begun a good work in us will complete it till the day of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.